This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Tyrants and Tea Kettles by Leslie Herron. Chapter 19, Oncidium.
Berg, wake up! Wake up!
Atticus wrapped his fingers around the kinked coils of Berg's arm joints and made several fruitless attempts to move him. Tears rolled down his face as he turned to look up at his sister.
He won't get up!
Piper rushed to her brother's side, wrapping an arm around him.
It's okay, buddy. He's just a machine. If he's broken, you can fix him.
She gave his shoulder a gentle squeeze.
No, if he's not...
Atticus stuttered over his words through huge, body-trembling sobs.
If he's not receiving a continuous power supply, the consciousness stored within his artificial brain could fail. He could die.
Tragedy, grab the robot, quickly.
Elias reached out and grabbed Comedy by the arm.
Comedy, I need you to go prep the main table in 26E. Assure there are ample supplies at hand.
Comedy disappeared out the door, but her twin made no move to comply. He cast a wary glance over at the others before returning his porcelain face to the Inquisitor.
Sir, Warehouse 26E is under strict regulations of security.
I know. I am the one who set them. For once, don't argue with me and just do as you're asked.
Elias took a steadying breath, composing himself as he straightened his back and cleared his throat.
Please.
The last word was forced. Tragedy remained rooted in his spot, apparently in an internal struggle with the orders he had been given. Vel, however, had already reached the robot's side.
It's fine. I'll get him.
Atticus scrabbled backwards on all fours, allowing the cyborg room to lift the lifeless form of his best friend. Vel groped around the bulky mass of the robot until his fingers found a sturdy purchase. He bent at the knees, dug in with his heels, and pulled back. Berg slid a few inches across the ground toward him, but the popping noise that followed came not from the robot, but somewhere along his own spine. A sneer curled at the unseen smile of Tragedy's face, the cruel nature of his features hidden behind the porcelain. He detached himself from his spot and moved to where the robot lay still. With one broad sweep of his hand, he shoved the cyborg aside and scooped up Berg with swift purpose. He slung the machine over his shoulder, as easily as if it were a rag doll. He turned his masked face to look down at Vel.
Performance issues?
Come, there's no time for bickering,
Elias urged as he read the situation. He steered the group out of the workshop and down another long, vacant hallway, following the tracks left in the dust by Comedy. Guards leapt aside as the Inquisitor stormed his way through the many twists and turns until the group found themselves in deserted corridors of a long-abandoned portion of the college. At the end of one of the vast, empty halls was a set of giant double doors. They had been propped open in anticipation for their arrival. Vel, as the last to enter, lingered in the doorway for a moment. Inside was a massive space, larger than even Atticus's hangar. And just about as chaotic, too, he thought, as he looked around at rows and piles of junk filling almost every inch of concrete all the way to the back walls. The ceiling was so impossibly high that the lights hanging from the rafters couldn't muster the energy to illuminate the room, so numerous flood lamps had been set up to help compensate. Near the entrance of the room was a massive metallic slab with dozens of adjustable arms that held lamps, magnifying glasses, clamps, and soldering equipment. Tools were carefully sorted into multiple carts that surrounded the area, giving off the aura of an operating room rather than a workstation. Atticus's broken sobs echoed off the high ceilings, bouncing around the room and dissipating into silence within the massive expanse. He kept sputtering his friend's name and tugging at the folds of his own clothes. It wasn't until Vel's eyes adjusted that he realized what he had thought to be a collection of random junk was in fact overflowing piles of robotic arms, chest plates, heads, tires, treads, weaponry, and every other component you could possibly need to piece together an army of robots, hundreds of which had already been constructed and now lined the walls. What appeared to have once been a hangar for a battle-class warship was now the resting place for countless metallic figures. Vel squinted at their darkened silhouettes. Each robot was different from the last, as if the design had been improved upon from the previous one. But they all shared one thing in common, the signs of a project long since abandoned. Thick layers of dust blanketed them all, save for a dozen or so near the front that all bore an uncanny resemblance to Berg. Elias and the twins took no notice as they set to work getting Atticus's robot readied on the metal slab. The Inquisitor was adjusting lights and calling for tools as tragedy and comedy ran around collecting whatever he asked for. It took some effort to undo the panel at the base of the robot's skull, but once free, Elias could see that which made Berg special. He ran his fingers through his hair, tugging at the ends slightly. He had given up many nights laying awake, theorizing about the inner workings of this robot's mind. He had even spent the better part of a year trying to recreate it using his theories. But now, gazing upon the beauty within, he could see the portal device, despite all his struggles to understand it, was simplistic by comparison. His fingers fell from the ends of his hair as realization set in. For the first time in his life, he knew what it was to be completely out of his depth. Web-like networks of impossibly thin wires, fluid-filled tubes, intricately perforated plates, and oddly shaped gears were all entangled perfectly with each other, as much a work of art as a technological marvel. Small lights flickered weakly, and obvious signs of charring surrounded many of the components. He looked up to the small boy, whose expression of helplessness echoed his own.
"Atticus, I'm afraid I'm at a loss here."
Atticus stood rooted in fear, his fingers in his mouth and tears rolling down his cheeks. His lips trembled when he spoke, but no words came out. His sister's arm was still wrapped around him, pulling him in closer to her as if to protect him from this. Elias cursed under his breath, knowing he'd have much to answer for later. He reached a hand back and slapped the boy with enough force to send his hat flying off his head.
"Your friend is dying!"
The act shocked Piper as much as Atticus, but she recovered first and made to lunge for the Inquisitor, her white-hot rage boiling over.
"How dare you! Who do you bloody think you are? You can't—"
Her words were cut off as an impossibly strong arm wrapped around her waist, halting her progress. She looked down, expecting to see a mechanical hand, but instead saw the bare forearm of tragedy. She kicked and clawed at the brute, struggling with all her might to reach the man who had just struck her brother. Elias leveled his gaze at the girl. He couldn't blame her. Even he was mad at himself, but he wouldn't allow her coddling to continue.
"Madam, you are welcome to berate me to your heart's content at the proper time. Comedy, tragedy, escort them from the room, please."
"I'm not done with you."
"Nor would I expect you to be."
Elias gave her a stern look and nodded to Tragedy, who clamped a hand over her mouth as he hauled her backwards towards the door. The Inquisitor turned back to Atticus. The boy looked confused, scared, and on the verge of complete emotional collapse. Elias grabbed his jaw and forced him to look into his eyes.
"I need you to focus."
His voice was not cruel, but carried an edge of command.
"I understand you are scared. Anybody would be. But now is not the time for that. You are the only person alive who can save your friend. So, you need to make a choice. Remain a child and let him die, or become a man and do what must be done."
Piper's muffled cries of rage only grew in volume with each word the Inquisitor spoke, but she couldn't escape the iron grip of her captor. Silence followed as she was pulled from the room. Vel numbly trailed along, allowing Comedy to steer him through the double doors. Left alone, Elias continued to stare into those watery eyes, waiting for any semblance of a response. Atticus seemed dim, pulling into himself. He wiped his eyes with his shirt sleeve and glanced around at the assembled tools.
I need a set of calipers and some wire strippers.
Just who the hell does he think he is?
Piper thrust her bald fists down at her sides, once more swiveling on her heel to retrace her steps. Comedy and tragedy watched her with disinterest as they stood sentry at the front of the doors. After Piper's first few attempts to fight her way past had failed, she had taken up angrily stomping up and down the hall instead. Vel sat on the floor, slumped against one of the walls. His head felt like it would split in two, and at that moment, he would have welcomed that sweet relief. Once again, he had acted too rashly, and this time, someone else was paying the price. He had done this in his hurry to save the man who wasn't really his brother. The electricity that flowed through the portal machine had lashed out and fried Berg's circuits, and it was his fault. Everything was his fault. From stranding himself and his brother in separate dimensions, to getting Piper and her brother mixed up in all this. Vel pushed his fingers into his temples.
Calm down. I'm sure Atticus is fine in there.
Piper whipped around at the graveled voice. Her nostrils flared as she let out a long, deep exhale through her nose. Patience was a skill she had never learned.
That's my brother in there, not yours, despite what you seem to think. So don't tell me to relax, old man. Quit sulking and get me into that room.
There was no point in retaliating. It would just work her into more of a frenzy. He heaved a sigh and looked over at Tragedy and Comedy. Their porcelain visages hid any emotion other than the occasional stifled yawn or stretch of a tight muscle. Vel recalled the way Tragedy had plucked up Berg off the ground as if he weighed nothing. Piper was readying another tirade to rail against the sentries and the cyborg when the door behind the twins creaked open. Vel watched the Inquisitor step out into the hallway to address them, his hair disheveled and his vest smeared with grease. As he passed his guards, Piper swung an open palm at his face. Elias snapped out a hand and grabbed her by the wrist with surprising ease. A flicker in his eyes betrayed a momentary thought, almost as if he seemed to think better of it, and allowed the follow-up slap from her other hand to strike him square on the jaw.
Violence doesn't solve everything, Elias
mentioned as he let go of her wrist.
I am terribly sorry that I had to do what I did, but your brother is the only one with the knowledge to fix that machine of his, and without it...
Don't try to brush off what you did as for his own good!
Piper's hands clenched into fists.
You slapped him and told him he was killing his only friend, plain and simple, and you know he's special.
Her mouth formed a line of disgust, and she spat in his face.
He trusts you!
Elias heaved a sigh.
We've done all we can. Berg is powering back up, and your brother is responsible for that.
He pulled his spectacles off and began rubbing the lenses with a handkerchief pulled from his front pocket.
I know that it was unfair of me, and no one regrets it more than I do.
He looked back down at the girl.
But what would have been the emotional fallout if Berg had died? Not to mention that your friend here would have no way home. You may not agree with my assessment of the situation, but I did what I did for good reason.
Elias gestured to the door.
You are welcome to go to him now.
Piper shoved her way past Elias and the twins, kicking the door further open as she walked through it. Vel rose to his feet. Elias was so much like his brother in some ways, with his often cold and calculated outlook to a problem. He could even understand the reasoning behind how he had acted with the boy. But there was one thing that was nagging at him, and he needed answers.
Why do you have an army of robots in there?
Subtlety was best avoided here. Elias ran a hand through his bangs.
Well, I suppose that's a fair question. It's a project that I had started years ago. I theorized that we could make robots intelligent enough to replace our soldiers on the front lines. Unfortunately, it never amounted to anything. Even with our greatest minds set to the task, we couldn't achieve what Atticus did by accident.
Vel's expression grew dark.
Is that why some of the models look like Berg?
Elias smiled.
I admit, after meeting Berg, I reopened the project, trying to replicate him.
And you don't think a horde of murder bots is unethical?
The Inquisitor shook his head.
No, I don't. War is always an inevitability. That country has resources the other needs, so they invade. This country has more wealth, so that one decides to take it. Whatever the cause, the outcome is always the same.
Elias folded his arms behind him and turned his gaze thoughtfully down the long empty hallway.
In our case, our people are starving, and our neighbors would rather watch us wither away so that they may step in and take our technological advancements once we are dead. Thus, a war rages at the borders that surround our city.
Vel crossed his arms in front of his chest, but let him continue.
Both sides are losing innocent lives in the chaos. But those machines, they could turn the tide and save countless people. The war would be won in just a number of days. The enemy surrendered at the line, a peaceful annexation of their territories, the flow of goods restored, and then the citizens of both lands could begin to move on as one.
Vel didn't like the way the Inquisitor spoke so casually of war. And having seen war firsthand himself, he knew that things never ended so easily.
And then what? You send your metal army to the next country? Or just rule this one with the literal iron fist of policing automatons?
Elias swiveled on his heel, marching the few steps to close the gap between him and the man who wore his brother's face.
Of course not. Don't you see? There would be no need. Once the peace has been established across these lands, the robots would simply take up the mantle as the backbone of our society.
He paused to push his glasses up the bridge of his nose with a finger.
The military would be disbanded and reassigned to supplant the workforce, performing all the necessary manual labor. This would free up the citizens to live a life of luxury. Even those in the poorest of conditions would share in the riches and be elevated to prosperity and comfort, as there would be no need for anyone to work a task that does not in some way enrich their lives.
Vel squinted, swearing he saw something of a manic gleam in the ice-blue eyes.
You're talking about a utopia. Believe me, that's never how it works. Absolute power corrupts.
Elias shrugged.
Forgive me if I disagree. Power only corrupts the corruptible, which is why someone such as myself could make it work. I have no desires except to better the lives of my people. You cannot corrupt a man who desires nothing for himself.
Vel raised an eyebrow.
Bold statement. But, like you said, you couldn't get it to work anyway.
Elias nodded.
For now, even after seeing its inner workings, Berg is so complex that I understand little of what makes it work. But we have more pressing matters anyway. As it stands right now, we won't be able to get you home.
What? Why? We just had a portal open an hour ago.
Yes, but Berg cannot handle the strain of it. Not only did it nearly kill him trying, but we have no idea if it was the right location. He simply isn't made to handle that much math. However, if we had two robots like him, or three, it would reduce the computational load to sustainable levels.
Vel's headache began to ramp up. He pushed his fingers into his temples once more.
You just said you couldn't do that.
Elias gestured with his hand.
Understanding what I saw is one thing. Carefully documenting and recreating the construction is another.
Vel was starting to get frustrated.
So what? You took notes as Atticus tore apart his best friend's brain?
Sadly, the matter was too urgent for me to do any such thing. However, if I were able to get a hold of Berg again, I am fairly confident I could now deconstruct his inner workings and return him to functioning order.
Vel shook his head.
Atticus said sustained power loss could erase Berg's memory banks.
Perhaps.
Elias wavered his hand back and forth.
There is a decent possibility his personality could be lost. But with that information on hand, not only could I return you to your brother, I could end the war.
Vel recoiled.
But it would kill him.
Elias looked puzzled.
You cannot kill a machine. He is merely a facsimile of life. not a real individual.
He's not just a machine. He's my friend.
Atticus stood in the doorway, his sallow face framed between the darkness of the warehouse and the door.
I don't want you to kill my friend.
Elias dragged his hand across his face, resting it over his mouth as if to keep him from speaking. He wasn't a stranger to betrayal and heartbreak, but to know he had just caused those feelings in someone like Atticus tore at him in a way that was unfamiliar. He turned, finally prepared to meet the boy's gaze. Even though his cheeks were tear-stained and his mouth was turned down into a pout, there was a fire in his eyes that told the Inquisitor, firmly, he meant every word of what he said. Elias sighed and reached a hand out to place it on the boy's shoulder.
Atticus, that's not what I meant.
Piper stepped up behind her brother and smacked away Elias's hand. She threw her arm around Atticus's shoulder and turned him back towards the warehouse, gently positioning the floppy hat back on his head as they walked away.
Come on, let's take Bag home.
Of Tyrants and Teakettles is book 2 of the ongoing sci fantasy series by author Leslie Herron. Join us as the adventure unfolds, with new chapters releasing every few weeks.
What are you looking at, Tin Man?
Just wondering how you got so strong. High protein diet, push-ups, accidental exposure to gamma radiation.
Discipline.
Push-ups, then. What can you do, like 200 a set? Nah, you're pretty big. I'd say 300. Is it 300?
At least more strength is it measured in volts.
I might be made of metal, but at least I can look in a mirror without wearing a mask.
Are you saying something?
I'm sure you're perfectly beautiful under there. Any warthog would be lucky to have you.